Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I hear the same old talk, talk, the same old lines. Don't do me that today, yeah. If you know what's good for you, you'll get out of my way. Cause I'm crazy and I'm hurt, head on my shoulders going berserk.
Everybody, happy Friday. Patrick Foster here, coming at you from Suburbs Pod HQ. This is the Rockin' the Suburbs podcast. And on behalf of my co-host and co-founder, Jim Linehan, I want to say happy Friday and hope everyone is getting ready for the weekend. But before you do, before you jump into the weekend, I want to give you a little dose of what was first. That's right. It is your bite-sized history lesson, where we investigate what was first on important, iconic, and just labels that we love, record labels that we just like a lot. And we've gotten a ton of suggestions. I want to thank everybody in the community for reaching out, and glad you're enjoying it is what we can say. Now, today, this is going to be a classic way to end the week, folks. A gut punch of punk rock from California. Folks, we're going to investigate the story of the first record on SST. That's right. For me personally, SST is one of the most important labels in my musical life. I think I was thinking about this, you know, just this morning. If you came in and had to take away all my records except for one label, SST might be the one I would choose to hang on to. A close toss up between SST and Discord probably would be the ones I might go with to see it all out if that's the way it was working. But luckily it's not, and we can listen to all these different record labels. So it's Friday, and we're going to get into this story. I want to thank Echo Park Jimmy, James Petrillo, for suggesting this one. And I believe this one was also on the list sent in by Mark Neese. So I want to thank both of you guys very much for suggesting this. And this is going to be a fun story. Now, the good thing about this one is there's a lot of documentation about this whole story, because SST has become such a loved entity and such a loved label. When we tell this story, we got to start with Greg Ginn. And Greg Ginn, of course, is the founder of SST Records, the guitar player in Black Flag, amongst many other bands, and also a controversial figure. If you go through the history of SST Records, there are a lot of bands that were definitely unhappy with the way Greg conducted his business down the years. And of course, there was some lawsuits that happened with Black Flag and all kinds of things. Well, certainly, Black Flag was no stranger to legal trouble. They were hassled by the police pretty much from day one out there in Hiroshima Beach. Let's go back to the beginning. I'm going to use several sources here, folks, to tell you this story. One is going to be the book by Michael Azarod, Our Band Could Be Your Life, Scenes from the American Indie Underground, 1981 to 1991. If you don't have this book and you like any of the following bands, Black Flag, Minutemen, Mission of Burma, Minor Threat, Husker Du, Replacements, Sonic Youth, Butthole Surfers, Big Black, Dinosaur Jr., Fugazi, Mud Honey, Beat Happening. You really need to read the book, because it does lay out in really rich detail the basics of these bands' stories. And then I'm going to use, of course, the source of all human knowledge. Wikipedia's got a little information here. And there's also a very interesting blog that I came across. Thanks to the listing on Discogs, there's a link to a very interesting blog called Old School Punk Rock Info. And person Hansen Meyer is the one who looks like has authored most of the articles. But it lives at the URL blackflagnervousbreakdown.blogspot.com. And of course, the first release on SST Records, folks, was the Nervous Breakdown 7-inch EP by Black Flag. But let's go back to the beginning, folks. At the age of 12, Greg Ginn began publishing an amateur radio fanzine called The Novice, and he founded Solid State Tuners, abbreviated SST, a mail order business selling modified World War II surplus radio equipment. It became a small but thriving business that Ginn ran well into his 20s. So that's kind of the basis of where the name SST came from. It was just an outgrowth of what Greg Ginn had founded when he was an adolescent. And, you know, he was a huge fan of all different kinds of music. In this book, he says that he believes he attended more than 75 Grateful Dead shows. It was one of his favorite bands. He liked a lot of big band jazz. He liked all kinds of things. And he certainly detested the music that was popular in the mid-70s, sort of these arena bands. And I think we're all familiar with the story of the bands that got the punks angry and all that stuff. And it was when Greg Ginn started reading The Village Voice, and he sent away for a single by Television, Little Johnny Jewel, that he really got the spark. That combined with seeing the Ramones in concert. And there's a quote here in Michael's book that says, Ginn says, "There wasn't a specific sound in early punk rock, and there wasn't a specific look or anything like that. It seemed to be a place where anybody could go who didn't fit into the conventional rock mode." And certainly, that was Ginn at the time. He began to play around. He was an acoustic guitar player at first. He began to play electric guitar, and eventually he met up with a couple people who he began to jam with. And before too long, they had formed a band called Panic. And was around January of 1978 when Greg Ginn had known a guy named Spot, who was a sort of man about town in Hiroshima Beach, and he was also a assistant engineer at a recording studio. And so they worked out a way to get into this studio, which was called Media Art. And again, I'm going to quote here from Michael Azarod's book. "In January 78, Panic recorded 8 songs at Media Art with Spot as assistant engineer. But nobody wanted to touch the band's raging slab of aggro punk except LA's garage pop revivalist label Bomp Records, who had already released singles by LA punk bands like the Weirdos and the Zeros. But by late 78, Bomp still hadn't formally agreed to release the record. So Ginn, figuring he had enough business expertise from SST Electronics and his UCLA economics studies, simply did it himself. I just looked in the phone book under record pressing plants, and there was one there," says Ginn. "So I just took the recordings to them, and I knew about printing because I had done it for my catalogs. So we just did a sleeve that was folded in a plastic bag and then got the singles made and put them in there." So that was kind of all that happened. Ginn got his younger brother, who went by the name of Raymond Pettibone, to do the cover, an unsettling pen and ink illustration of a teacher keeping a student at bay with a chair like a lion tamer. A few months earlier, Panic had discovered that another band already had the name. So Raymond Pettibone suggested Black Flag and designed a logo for the band, a stylized rippling flag made up of 4 vertical black rectangles. In January 79, Ginn released the 4-song Nervous Breakdown EP, SST Catalogs 001. And Michael Azarod goes on to say, "The record is rude, scuzzy, and totally exhilarating. I could not agree more with that assessment." Let's drop the needle on Nervous Breakdown, the lead track on this EP. Yeah, rude, scuzzy, totally exhilarating. I mean, it's incredible. Now, so on vocals, you have Keith Morris, who would later go on to be in the Circle Jerks. Greg Ginn is on guitar. On bass is Gary McDaniel. This is what's listed on the back cover of the very first release. You may know Gary McDaniel better by his alias, Chuck Dukowski. And on drums, listed on the back of the record, is Robo. Now, Robo did not play drums on this record. This was recorded before Robo joined the band. The drums were played by Brian Migdahl. He was the original drummer in Panic who played on these recordings. So a note here on Wikipedia, it says, "It's commonly misconstrued that Spot was the producer and engineer of Nervous Breakdown. In his sleeve notes for the 1982 Outtakes anthology, Everything Went Black, Spot pointed out that as an apprentice engineer, his involvement in the sessions was limited to setting up microphones during the tracking sessions and doing rough mixes for the band to hear." So he really wasn't the engineer. It was probably a name lost to history, whoever the Media Art, you know, main engineer was, who was doing his full-time job when Flag came in to record. I'd like to talk about the release history of this record because it's really, really fascinating. And that's where we'll go back to this really interesting site, Old School Punk Rock Info. Right now, though, let's go back to the record. Now, I got to warn you that there's three more tracks. Fix Me, I've Had It, and Wasted. The longest one of this trio clocks in at a minute and 25 seconds. So we'll hear a little bit of Fix Me, probably about 30 seconds worth. Well, I don't know if Keith ever went on to be rich, but certainly that's a sound and an emotion and an expression of frustration, fear, anxiety, and anger that certainly resonated with a lot of people that were living in the L.A. area in 1979 and 1980 before Flag really started to become the well-known, infamous, monstrous band that they would become. But here, they're pretty much fully formed. You have the guitar, you have the attack. You know, the guitar almost plays a rhythm part as well, and the bass underwriting it all, and the drums basically just trying to keep up. At this point, it's pretty amazing stuff. And Keith Morris was an incredible vocalist for this band. And of course, there went on to be a number of different vocalists for the group, notably Henry Rollins later on. But Keith Morris was a really great fit for this attack that Greg Ginn had set up. Now, let's talk a little bit about the release history here. I gathered some info from this site, and here's what you got to know. There are 16 distinctly different versions on 7-inch vinyl and three different versions of this record on 10-inch vinyl. That's right. It was repressed 15 more times on 7-inch and three times on 10-inch vinyl. Now, for specifics of this first one, as we said, recorded in January 1978 as Panic, 2,000 copies were released sometime between the end of January 1979 and February 15th, 1979, based on research and flyers and conversations that this person has had with members of Flag. All copies of the first pressing of Nervous Breakdown were distributed prior to the summer of 1980. On the sleeve, black ink on glossy white paper, Raymond Pettibone drawing, as we said. The sleeve features a brick wall type background, and this is the only version of the record that has this. It was a folded piece of paper inside the sleeve. The sleeve and record were originally packaged in a clear plastic sleeve that folded over the top and was sealed midpoint on the back of the sleeve with a small white SST sticker in the package. The label is bright fuchsia with matte finish. Bubble font is used for the word record. And the R and the E in the word records, touch. Black vinyl, big hole, dead wax run out, has SST 001A on side A and SST 001B on side B. How do you maybe think that this person, and I'm guessing it's Hanson Meyer, if it's not, I sincerely apologize. How do you think he knows all this information? Well, guess what? He has every 7-inch different version and all three 10-inches, and he's got photos of them right here. It's pretty amazing. There were some issued on colored vinyl. There's a yellow, red, and another red. The label slightly changed colors. There was another blue version that came out later. There was blue printing and then red printing, and then on the 10 inches there's one that's blue vinyl and there's black printing on one and blue printing on another on black vinyl. So all the variations have been covered here. Pretty amazing research, it really is. And I think that calls for another dip into side B of Black Flag's Nervous Breakdown. Let's go ahead and hear some of I've Had It.
I can't go to work. The boss is a jerk. I ain't got time for this school. The fucker's a fool. I'm going to explode. I've had it. I lie around TV on. I don't do nothing. I just hang around. I'm waiting for a call from the dollar. Explode out of it! fucking lions. Oh, I'm losing my mind. Oh, I'm going.
Love that track. It's one of my favorites of all the Black Flag songs, and I just love the way it kind of almost meets up in tempo, but it kind of lurches, and the guitar is so killer, and that little whirl that Greg Ginn does at the end of some of the verses are really, really great. And I don't know, it's just to me classic early punk rock. Like, as soon as you hear the first chord on that guitar, you know what the record is. Only one band ever made that kind of a sound, and it's pretty incredible. So there it is, folks. That's it. That's SST 001, Black Flag, Nervous Breakdown. Looking here on Discogs, there are two copies for sale right now of the very original. And let's see. First one is from Canada, and it is for sale for Canadian dollars, $1,779 plus $15 shipping. You might want to get the insurance on that if you go ahead and buy it. And then there's one in Denmark. 1,744 euros plus 11.92 shipping. So again, I would encourage you to get the insurance if you're going to make the plunge. $850 is the median price. And last time this changed hands was actually March of 2022. So just a couple of months back, somebody bought one. Now, if we go to all versions of the Black Flag 7-inch, it's interesting because the price comes down considerably. If you just want any kind of a copy, there are some that start about $100. There's a few that are $50, depending on the prices and depending on the shipping and all that. So you could probably add one to your collection. Now, I think it's cool that SST has kept this record in print and made all those represses. It's not like one of these legendary records that we talked about on some of these What Was First episodes where there's one pressing of 300 copies and they're impossible to ever find. And it's cool that they're all out there with these different variations. So I think that's pretty neat. Pretty neat. All right, folks. Well, that's going to put a wrap on this episode. That's going to put a wrap on this week. I want to thank you so much for listening to What Was First. I want to thank you for listening and subscribing to Suburbs Pod. And you can find us everywhere on the social medias at Suburbs Pod. You can go to suburbspod.com. You can find information about our show there. You can get all the back episodes. You can subscribe to our newsletter, which comes out every Friday and keeps you in the loop on what's happening with the Suburbs community and what's going on. And we've also got two fests coming up this year that you want to be sure to check out if you can make it. We'd love to see you and meet you in person and say hi and let you buy us a beer. And be sure to get all the info about that there. And if you want to get in touch with us, send an email, rock@suburbspod.com. Be happy to add a label of your choosing to this list, and we'll try to work through all the suggestions we've gotten eventually. I want to thank EPJ very much for suggesting this one, along with Mark Neese on his big, excellent list. Thank you guys very, very much. EPJ's out there in LA, so he knows what's happening when it comes to punk rock. We're going to play out with the final song on the Nervous Breakdown EP by Black Flag. It's going to be Wasted. And I hope you don't get too much like that this weekend, but have an enjoyable weekend. And on behalf of my co-host and co-founder, Jim Linehan, this is Patrick Foster saying we will talk to you guys next week.
Black Flag, Minuteman, Mission of Burma, Minor Threat, Husker Du, Replacement, Sonic Youth, Butthole Surfers, Big Black Dinosaur Jr., Fugazi, Mud Honey, Beat Hat.